This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back, guys, to Couch Chronicles Therapist After Dark. Before we get started, I would like you guys to take some time to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at Couch Chronicles Therapist After Dark. We are also opening things up for getting letters from viewers. You can email us at couchchroniclestad@gmail.com. Sparkle Ty, tell us a little bit about what they can send us.
Yeah, so we really want to hear more from you all and have you be more of a part of our show. So we're looking for any suggested topics that you might be interested in us discussing, or if you have questions that you want us to read and answer on the show, you can, again, email us at couchchroniclestad@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Let's get into it.
It's my turn.
Yes.
All right. For our mindfulness today, I want us to find an object to focus on.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is, as you focus on an object, even though if your mind takes you away from it, the object is going to be your anchor. And I want you to notice, what do you see about the object? You're not going to touch it. You're just going to observe with your eyes what you notice, what are some details, and any connections or thought that may show up for you as it relates to whatever object you choose to observe. Good deal?
Okay.
We got it? Mm-hmm. All right. First, we're going to start taking a deep breath. Inhale through your nose. Take a deep breath out. And then I want you to just focus your eyes on an object. It could be anything in the room. And you're going to make that object your anchor. You're going to notice the detail about the object, the colors, possible smell. You're going to notice the urge and or sensation that you experience by looking at the object. If it's food, if it's food or if it's water, notice there may be like possible salivation that may come, you know, salivate over that. Also, if your mind takes you away, it's more than okay. Just bringing your focus back to that one object. Notice some histories you may have about that object. How did it come into your presence? How did it come into the room? How did it become part of your life? How do you use it? How has it served you? Is a way of, when things get busy in your mind, to find one thing to focus on. It's a good thing to practice. When your mind feels busy, all right, as we are ending the practice, I want you to take a deep breath. Inhale through your nose. Exhale. All right. I heard some movement in some things. So what was your object? What did you notice?
I chose to look at my water bottle, and I had a lot of thoughts. My water bottle has a phrase on there that says women's rights are human rights. So I was thinking about that, like, damn right.
Yes.
And I also had a lot of like physical sensations because it was water. I kept thinking to myself, like, I'm thirsty. My mouth was like kind of salivating and like ready to take a sip.
Yeah. So the urge was you wanted to take a sip, but then because I give the directive, you
to not touch. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just notice it. Good to you.
During my mindfulness exercise, I'm sure everyone heard me take a behemoth of a cough there. I was struggling with this dust particle in my throat. I was really trying hard to focus because I chose this lovely plant. I don't know if it's real or not, in front of us. And I was trying really hard not to cough at the vigorosity that I felt that I needed to get rid
of. Not the SAT words, vigorosity.
Yes, yes. I had to really get it out there. So I started to drink some water a little bit and slowly kind of get that notice that it was, the itching was still there. And then when I turned over, I'm like, yeah, you just gonna have to participate fully in getting this
just
out
be
of
present.
There, getting some of it. And I was good. I did notice my eyes watering from trying to both suppress the cough and also release said cough. Usually things like that, I would like get pulled away.
Right.
I would start laughing, smirking, all of those different things. But I was able to bring myself back to kind of looking at this plant in front of me specifically. Yeah. And I did notice that my kind of vision blurred, and at that moment is when I recognized that I was not actually observing the plant and I was lost in something that was going on in my head because of how much it started to just be really blurry. Brought myself back, felt really grounded in the moment and in myself. And I was quite appreciative.
I did hear that. I was like, and that was the thought, as I try to stay focused, I picked my water bottle. And as I try to stay focused, the thought was like, is she okay? Well, you know what? My attention is to this water bottle, so I'm not going to look up at her. I'm like, let me look at this water bottle. And then when you coughed again, I'm like, okay, should we pause?
Right.
Okay, but let me keep going.
Yes.
But no, with the water bottle, I had the same similar sensation around, like, that's why I said
salivating,
it.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like I was salivating. I was like, ooh. Okay, but then I had the urge, like, okay, do I need a squiggle? But then I kind of just kind of my mind shifted about the different things. I noticed, like, the expiration date. The thought was like, oh, I didn't know water had an expiration date, actually.
The bottle does.
Yeah.
Not the actual water inside.
I was like, oh, this is interesting. But I don't think I ever noticed it. So I kind of noticed that and kind of was able to bring myself back. So, So what are we talking about today? We kind of dressed sort of in the festive of things.
Yeah, let's start with our check-in.
Yes.
It is holiday time, so I wanted to check in with you all and just ask, what do you notice about yourself and about your body around holiday time?
I'm ready to eat. I know, that's what I'm ready for. I am ready for all the spread, the food. So my family does not do traditional, I guess, like, Christmas dinner and things like that. Like, we don't have, like, traditional foods. We have a lot of ethnic foods. So I'm always excited about what the spread is going to look like.
For Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Both of them. Both of them. We don't do traditional. And then also, I'm always kind of bringing something in. So I'm excited to try new recipes and new, like, I like to make desserts. I'm really excited about doing some of that stuff for the family, but that's the number one thing after stress is that I'm looking forward to is eating up.
So I used to like the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, but it became a chore and a task now where I don't look forward to it because my mother always hosts and she loves it. And I like it too, but it's like, it's the anxiety around like people come. I'm ready for people to leave. And I don't feel like I enjoy it as much. Like, I love seeing my cousins who travel, who come from, like, different parts, who come visit. But I realized, like, when you get near time for, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas, there's this thing for me, like, okay, what does she want me to get ready for? Like, who's coming? Like, getting my mind prepared to entertain where I just, like, I just want to sit and not do anything. So I have, like... But the holidays are huge in our family. It's the is majority of the time you get a lot of us in one place. Yeah. Because especially Thanksgiving, my mother's known to be that house you go to.
Sure.
So sure. I get the opportunity to see my cousins and stuff like that. But there is some like residuals around
hesitancy.
Like, yeah, like, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. For me, I would definitely say that I'm feeling a bit guarded. Mm-hmm. I think that my family dynamics have really changed so significantly over the past, like, maybe, like, 4 years or so.
Yeah.
Just with, like, loss. We've kind of lost our, like, entire generation of, like, grandparents and things like that. Or they have just kind of lost their capacity to host. So it is kind of changed as far as like who's going to be responsible for doing what, whose house are we going to go to.
As long as you make me your sweet potato pie, that's fine. But go ahead.
Right. I have my traditions and things that I think I'll always do, but I'm feeling a little guarded. Like a little like I just want to be in my protective bubble, perhaps like just dinner with me and my girl and like...
And then you know, it's so funny you said that because I think maybe that's what it is for me. It's the guarded around like the shift.
Yeah, but when dynamics,
but when the dynamics of our family changes or change happen in our family where what used to be like fun and good time no longer is that, there is a sense of like, okay, well, how am I going to move? What am I going to walk into? How is this going to look like? So for you, with the more you think about it, is that I like the fact that maybe possibly opening to starting new traditions.
Yeah, I talked about that, right? I think that as me and my partner just solidify our lives together a little bit more, I've also talked about like what are our traditions that we want to have as aunties.
Yeah.
Like, what are some things that we want to do for like the kids whose lives that we're a part of, and like how we want to also focus on taking care of ourselves as well. So. Yeah, I'm feeling protective of that energy right now, for sure.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people probably resonate with your experience of being guarded. I think, you know, as my role as the oldest sister, a lot of us are, this is our time to really start marching, right? This is our time to really start planning, directing. Very much, it's like the bat wings are up in the air for the older folks or the people who are usually... responsible for corralling everybody, right? I think about for older siblings, you're the one that's reminding your younger siblings to get gifts for your parents or for each other or asking them for money so that you can help plan certain things. If you are a mom or you're the person who's usually in charge of the cooking during the time, you're running around trying to get the best deals while also trying to shop for, you know, holiday time, Christmas, or even other holidays that are being celebrated around this time, a lot of money is being spent. So there's a lot of stress on people to honestly maintain a certain status quo. Like you said, if a lot of the older generation are passing along the torch or the spoon, if you will, to the younger generation, there is a kind of like pressure to want to maintain what has been or what that, more like what the vibe, the experience, those, all of that nuance that comes with the holidays, right? So it can be overwhelming for folks who are getting that like new role or that new tradition that they are creating because they still want it to be inclusive. They want everyone to have a good time. So definitely also, a lot going on.
Also, I feel like I have some judgments around sometimes not keeping like basic traditions. Like,
what's a basic tradition?
So in a sense of like basic tradition around the norm around like family gathering, being open to that in terms of like the games we play, the music that we play. I don't know if it's also a grievance of the fact that it is changing.
It is changing, right? Like that emotional safety.
Yeah. So I part of me feels like, okay, is it changing? Do you like this change? Do you not like this change? Or what are some certain things about it that I still want to keep and actually did enjoy? Because I was thinking about that. Like, what are some things that we used to do as a family that we don't do as much anymore? We used to go bowling after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Or we used to do like games and like...
Or like hot cocoa or like...
And we used to have music and like soca music playing. And now I noticed that people come, eat, they leave. It's not as...
Together. It's engaging and interacting. I think for me, I think that I have changed. And so perhaps... I was maybe more willing to perform in certain spaces during holiday time or just had more capacity to participate in mm-hmm. what was going on. Mm-hmm. And I think that as I've changed, I've also maybe realized that some of my like family interactions or like holiday space was yeah. not emotionally safe for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, yeah, like there's yeah. been times where I would maybe extend myself to go to some people's house, or like I used to have a lot of extended family, so I would mm-hmm. maybe do like 3-4 stops in a day.
You used to travel too. You used to go to North Carolina, come back.
My family is from Birmingham, yeah. so I would be, I would say like Birmingham has always been like my favorite place mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. spend time around the holidays. That largely being just because I love to see my girl cousins. Mm-hmm. We're like a whole girl gang. Mm-hmm. and like the food, mm-hmm. like being very like emotionally connected to the food.
Mm-hmm.
But the dynamics of that have changed. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I've kind of had less interest in wanting to stretch myself, and also recognizing that I am not in a space where I'm willing to conform, that there are just going to be some spaces that I was maybe previously welcomed in that mm-hmm. I'm just not anymore.
And that is a reality for a lot of folks.
That yeah. radical acceptance of that.
Is mm-hmm. that maybe spaces that they were able to maybe ignore the
or just at least navigate it.
Yeah. Or navigate it a little bit more seamlessly. They are unable to because it feels like on the tail of what happened a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
People made very distinct lines in the sand mm-hmm. about what their ideals are.
Yeah.
And I think it's harder for the minority people who were affected by some of these things to not express how disappointing the lack of support through such a mm-hmm. powerful means of voting.
Yeah,
sure.
Like, it's yeah. very hard to, like, excuse
mm-hmm.
people that you want to understand you, who you felt connected to, there was a sense of proximity mm-hmm. with.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for you to kind of, like, take that in while still highlighting and honoring, like, your need to be seen.
Yeah,
in
for
a
sure.
bigger space. Yeah. So I think mm-hmm. that a lot of people are experiencing what you said. But for my family system, it's interesting. The holidays were always just, we always, like, it's like coming home. Like, it doesn't matter where mm-hmm. we
like
were
the homecoming,
at. And, like,
yeah.
we would always come back. And if anything, I used to, you know, play sports in college. And so during maybe Thanksgiving, I wasn't allowed to come back home because mm-hmm. of the rigorousness of the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But during the Christmas was the time that we would always be able to come back.
Home.
And
yeah.
that was always a time to be able to see all the family members at the mm-hmm. same time. And we had the tradition of we were always watching a movie. Not a Christmas movie, just mm-hmm. a movie
something together,
of
yeah.
something. We're playing video games or playing mm-hmm. a game with each other. If it's a trivia game, if it's a...
That's what I mean. It was one of those things. I didn't say the basic, but like mm-hmm. the...
And I will say I'm pretty like the ringleader of things. Like, I like those type of like
because,
but
I think because you're competitive.
I am yeah. competitive, but I think it's also a shared experience that we always had okay. growing up.
Yeah.
I remember from like having a memory of being 10, 11, 12, staying up, playing the new Dance Dance Revolution mm-hmm. game that my
yes!
dad had gotten us. We always played and entertained ourselves around each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
that was something we were always doing. My mom's sitting on the couch watching us play video games. Like mm-hmm. she's not
yeah.
playing, but she's there. So it just gives a sense of like togetherness
yeah.
that is not, you don't always make space for that any other time in the year
yeah.
with the exception of the holiday time.
Yeah.
You know, when I noticed that my family dynamic change was when I think my sister got married and then my brother got married. Because what do you do when, like, and now I'm married?
And people
right?
kind of have their own
because how do you merge the fact that it's not all about you? You can't just assume they're going to go to your mom's house.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, you know, with my brother, you know, his wife's, her family lived in Jersey. So it was like weird that first time he wasn't here for Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and he was in Jersey and stuff like that. Oh, when my sister was married, you know, her spouse family lived in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that slow shift around like all of us used to be together and then
what's that gonna look like?
Yeah. Now? And even yeah. now for me being married, like majority of my husband's family's like in Virginia, but I've never not been home. Yeah. So for me, this will be the first year where, well, we're going to be in my mom's house. Thank you, God. But I remember last year thinking like, right. I remember last year thinking like, shit. So does that mean next year I have to actually consider this? Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking like, oh, I wonder if my siblings ever even like thought how weird. I remember my brother actually texting was like, it's weird. I love y'all and so forth and so on. But it's that shift and change. And I think my mom experienced that too. Mm-hmm. Like when your kids are, she's very close to all of us. And I think she even talked to me about now you guys have your own family and starting your own traditions. But there was a sense of grievance.
Yes. Like that's, and I think I really like that you brought that up because I think that this year more than ever, I'm feeling kind of disconnected from my family. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've kind of had a small family to begin with.
Yeah.
And we're kind of like all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't really have like a close relationship with the family members that I do have that are here.
Yeah.
My family dynamics have changed with my family in Alabama.
Yeah.
And so I think that, again, kind of bringing back that feeling of guarded. Yeah. I'm feeling very protective, particularly of like my relationship, my girlfriend. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to no fucking celebrations that she's not welcome to come to. Exactly. So, like,
but that's honoring your partner, though, right?
For sure. Yeah. I think it's honoring myself and as well, too. Yeah. Like, how I want to continue to show up genuinely. And I think that a lot of generations before me, again, have maybe subscribed to more, like, conformity or respectability. Like, showing up in a certain way for the greater good or for, like, older generations to, like, accept and be okay.
Yeah.
And I'm coming with a very, like, it's not giving watch what you do around so-and-so so they don't say anything. It's giving, like, watch how you come at me.
Right.
Like, no, but watch what you say to me.
But I was saying to that point is not only, validating and or providing that respect for yourself but also for your partner, because how does it feel like if you bringing somebody where the family may not be, whether you're a biracial couple, whether you are same sex, whatever it is, if it's not a norm, that part,
and I think that'll not, come up right
and that will those come are, up if it's not a norm right or if it's that, then how do you still honor yourself in that person or your belief and still show up in that space or not show up in that space?
Another, I guess, layer to this, and I think this is coming off the tail of the conference that we went to last month where they were talking about, like, safety is often misconstrued as comfort, right? So I guess the question that, the statement that you made about, I don't want to be around other people who are not welcoming of me and my girlfriend. What does welcoming, or how to say, what are the gradients or the spectrum of welcoming? Because I do think that sometimes people are expecting welcoming, and not yourself, but just in general, that people expect welcoming to look like an open embrace. And like, sometimes, like, come on, we're here and I'm putting you over, and I sometimes think that it negates the levels at which people need to grow within their own stuff. So, what are your thoughts on that?
I would say for me, welcome, particularly around, like, being in a woman-loving woman relationship, is, like, acknowledgement of my partner as my partner. Like, that's very important to me.
Like, saying, oh, hey, like
this is my girlfriend. Like, this is my spouse. This is my partner. Like, whatever that might look like in that space. I would also say welcoming is, like, talking to her, acknowledging her that she's there. Like, not just, like, I'm talking to you so, directly as my niece, but I'm not really talking to the person that's standing next to you.
Yeah. Or talking to her and being dismissive about what the who she is to you.
Yes.
It's funny because I had a client. I have a client.
Like your friend.
I have a client, like, who's married in a same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
And her, and she's of culture. She's Sierra Leone. And she talked, she had this conflict with her mom that we were processing. Mom's like, well, don't I welcome you? She comes here, she's invited to parties, she's this and that. And her whole point is like, yeah, but you don't have to agree with it, but you nobody talks to her.
Yeah, like, you're not fully. Said,
is she coming? Or
like, I don't want to ever, I don't want to feel tolerated.
But to your
like,
point, when she's in, when mom is introducing her spouse, her wife to whoever, mom would be like, oh, this is such and such, and that's it. And not right. like, oh, this is such and such wife or yeah. spouse or partner or whoever. And the client decided, I said, well, so what do you want honoring you?
Yeah.
And she decided, like, well, if she's not welcome, then I'm not
going.
Welcome.
And that's what I'm at.
And mom got mad. Mom was like, she is welcome. I allowed her to. Yeah, but you, the way she's treated and how, like, the spouse yeah. is, like, dismissed. So, to that point is around, some people may feel like, well, just because you allow someone to come into the space, that's welcoming, what you were saying, Steph. But clarifying what welcome means around, yeah. like, hey, this is such and
want
such.
Want to be acknowledged. Or, I want there to be a certain level of
engagement. Or engaging.
Leaning in.
Yeah. yeah.
Because when you even said the language with that particular example is I allow her.
Yes.
And when you think about an allowance, there's a kind of a little bit of like a.
She's here. I'm tolerating this. Yes.
Type of situation yeah. versus that there is a certain level of leaning in. Mm-hmm. It's that I don't have to agree with the decisions at which that you make,
mm-hmm.
but I can respect, and mind you, respect, folks, another mm-hmm. buzzword that I think people just throw around but don't really understand
what that means.
Respect is just honoring someone's value.
Yeah. yeah.
And regardless of their opinion, their perspective, their actions, as a human being, we all have worth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, like, we are here, we are all made of matter, right? Mass. Mm-hmm. Those things make us finite individuals. And so mm-hmm. I think that when you're looking at respecting someone,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to agree with how you choose to live your life,
mm-hmm.
but I can still attend or acknowledge that there's worth in you
and that humanity.
You bring to my yeah. family member that
yeah. humanity.
To,
yeah.
to come
be in a relationship,
you know,
with you. Yeah.
Repeat what, that. The
yeah,
word.
I think that just really talks to that humanity.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that yeah. there's a lot of ways that we can dehumanize people, even unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, perhaps for your client, her mom maybe was feeling protective
mm-hmm.
and wanting to not create discomfort or lack of safety for her further.
Mm-hmm.
But it mm-hmm. also felt really invalidating to your client. I would also say that I want to really be intentional this holiday season about setting my expectations. Like, I think that I think that I'm growing more to say what my boundary is
mm-hmm.
versus just fading into the background and mm-hmm. going missing. I think mm-hmm. that I have in the past just been like, I'll stop talking to your ass.
like, mm-hmm.
But I think I want to be more
but that's
vocal.
That avoided, right?
Yeah, I want to yeah. be more directly vocal about, like, this is what my boundary is. And I think that it's a particularly sensitive time right now. The
and it takes
political
courage,
climate,
though, to be vocal.
Yeah, but the political climate, mm-hmm. I think that is kind of creating an additional layer of discomfort
mm-hmm.
just around, like, women's rights being in jeopardy,
yeah.
LGBTQIA plus rights mm-hmm. being in jeopardy. On top of that, I'm not trying to hear,
yeah.
I'm not trying to hear no shit like, I found a man for you.
Yeah.
Like, please.
Yeah. like, yeah.
And I think on top of that, one thing when you're talking about, like, expectations and boundaries. So
mm-hmm.
when we look at what we're going into the holidays, if you are aware that certain family members voted against things that you think is important to your identity,
mm-hmm.
there might be a little bit of what we like to call coping ahead in
yeah.
EBT, where
mm-hmm.
it's like, this is already a stressful, emotionally unsafe
mm-hmm.
situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, what are some conversations that you're going to maybe practice, maybe addressing it at a surface level and then figuring out how to exit when it's done?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are certain conversations that people are not at the same mental capacity,
mm-hmm.
emotional capacity, or
mm-hmm.
even level of, like,
willingness.
Willingness,
yeah.
but also they don't have the information that you do. I had to tell a client
yeah.
before that because of the work that you do and your feet on the ground when it comes to, like, social justice, there's certain things that you are exposed to, information that the
other
layman
people are not.
Person is not.
Mm-hmm.
And because
mm-hmm.
of that ignorance, it allows
mm-hmm.
people to engage in more of that groupthink
mm-hmm.
that we had talked in the previous episode of just conforming without doing
mm-hmm.
that critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are someone who's been exposed to something, and most people who are in like a minority group are exposed to more things that shape the way they look at the world and themselves more than the majority
does.
Like the majority group or culture that we're looking at.
Yeah.
So I just think that
Go ahead. No, finish.
I was just going to say, I just think that sometimes when we're looking at expectations, if you are unable to bow out of the holidays with, you know, some of these family members who are not as open to some of the things that you are, is practicing how to be in those environments and take the least amount of damage as possible.
Yeah, how, like to tolerate.
Part of coping ahead, going back to what both of you said, I have two thoughts that kind of came to my mind around expectations, to your point, and also being mindful that expectations and also being validating does not equal to agreeing.
Right.
Right. I can create space for you without agreeing and not having the expectation that you will understand my stance or my experience. So we, you know, it's also going into the holidays, being mindful that remind yourself of your value system, of what matters to you, and also having the expectations of yourself and not of others on how they should behave, react, respond.
Sure. Yeah.
But if I have the expectation,
I know how I'm gonna show up.
Right, and that's the point I wanted to make. Like the clear point, you were like, I can control how I occupy the space if I decide to show up by literally having the expectations that I'm gonna honor myself, I'm gonna honor my belief system, I'm gonna honor my partner, and at any point, expectation doesn't keep you in bondage to something.
Yeah.
Right? So at any point, if you don't feel comfortable, or your partner, whoever, if you don't feel comfortable in that space, you can respectfully say, hey, it's time for me to go. Give yourself permission to not sit through something that your body is saying, we're not safe here.
I started and giving myself a time.
Exactly.
I'm leaving it.
So giving that time, I think, is that. And also to the point around, I don't have to agree to validate you, like you're saying, like understanding. And that's something that I constantly have to work on.
I was going
to
say that.
Right.
That can go both
is
ways.
That I can understand your experience around why you voted or why you feel this way about this particular thing and why you're judgmental. And I can respectfully don't agree with it. But whatever your experience and your belief system around there, I can work through just seeing it, and seeing it doesn't mean I'm selling out or I'm selling myself out. It's just say, I hear you.
Yeah.
And sometimes
it's modeling that modeling what we sometimes want the other people to do for us. Yeah. It's just attending, like, okay, I see that this is where you're very passionate and I don't agree. And that being enough for you guys to just keep moving toward
The common goal,
sometimes
togetherness.
Sometimes the conflict become that we all are extremists in our thinking. We go in that black and white.
Yeah.
That's convincing. We become that black and that all or, you know, black all or nothing thinking. Mm-hmm. So I think the holidays does put you in the mecca of either you, especially this climate, either you with me or against me.
And to be fair, right, I think that the thing that I've personally worked on and perhaps could be also helpful for people is that radical acceptance.
That's
that there are
feeling.
Simply going to be some people that are committed to what they're committed to.
And
it's not necessarily in a space of like, I'm trying to convince you to think otherwise. I'm maybe okay with you feeling like it's all or nothing and me being on the nothing end. Like it's, so there are some people that it's clear that our values don't align and I'm okay with loving you from a distance.
Exactly.
I think I've really worked hard to unsubscribe to this idea that like you're family or you've been around a long time or you've been in proximity to me. So I have to hold on to that relationship. I've really been trying to practice like detaching from things that don't serve
belief
me, but in a way that is not, that is still attached to like my values around humanity. I'm not saying, you know, throw the whole person away.
Yeah.
I am saying that I can have different relationships and boundaries with you because our beliefs and our values are different.
I also, I want to add on to what you're saying in that like, I don't want people to assume that because an identity that you hold near and dear to you is not acknowledged by people that you want mm-hmm. to care, mm-hmm. that you, that means they don't care about you. Mm-hmm. I do think that it is easy for us to feel thrown away when mm-hmm. all of us is not accepted mm-hmm. by mm-hmm. the people that we care about mm-hmm. the most in our lives.
Sure. You know?
So just being very mindful, mm-hmm. right? Really slowing down about and radically accepting the fact that this part of me, this decision that I have made about my political choices mm-hmm. or around my identity is something that they don't necessarily see or acknowledge mm-hmm. or want to accept, and I am worth accepting as a whole.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. just
and I can find people
section,
that do accept me fully.
Right. Yeah. And maybe these people who can't engage in this part of me can still engage in other areas of me, even though it sometimes feels like you're
selling out.
Cutting portions of yourself out. But I also think that you don't always show every section and portion of yourself with every single person.
Yeah.
The ways that I am with you guys, who are both my friends, my colleagues, is not the way that I am with the people who are supervised. There
may
be some similarities in terms of how I present my, like, how I speak in certain mm-hmm. things, but I'm not telling them things, deep, dark things around myself that I'm telling about you
sure.
guys. Mm-hmm. I'm not sharing interests that mm-hmm. with them that I would with you guys. So there's sometimes discernment mm-hmm. that is needed during the holiday season around which parts you're going to keep for yourself
exactly.
and which parts are going to be open for other people to kind of touch, feel, do stuff with.
Exactly. And also radical acceptance is uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's uncomfortable to practice, mm-hmm. right? Radically accepting. And when we say the word radical, we really focused on it and reminding you that accepting is just not saying it is what it is. That part is just can be dismissive, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we radically accepting, it could be difficult to say, I am going to be okay knowing that this person have this feeling or this thought, and that's their thing. It's not my thing.
I don't have to internalize
it. I don't have to internalize it as me. So I appreciate you, Steph, saying around, like, just because someone doesn't agree with our viewpoint or lifestyle, who we are, that doesn't mean they don't care about me, that they don't like, they don't love me, or
yes.
I don't matter.
Because
I think sometimes we can get stuck in our narrative of looking for validation in others to say that you okay, you enough.
Yes.
And when that loved one or that person close to you don't say that, then it fits into our narrative like, I knew it.
Yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. worthless. I knew it. Nobody cares. That's why I can't depend on them. That's why they're this. Then we really start to send our mind into what we call that rabbit hole of like uncomfortability.
Yeah.
Then radical acceptance at that time become very hard to practice
because
we're not giving our room flexibility, emotional and mental flexibility to be like, okay, this shit is hard. And I'm going to honoring myself is difficult as I'm learning how to honor myself.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is like embrace uncomfortability.
Absolutely.
And through the process.
And we talked about radical acceptance, particularly with the mind, body, mm-hmm. and your spirit, right?
Yeah.
So we already talked about coping ahead, trying to identify, you know, what your values and boundaries are. What about some ways that we can perhaps cope within our body, like have some openness or a radical acceptance with our body? What do you think that looks like?
Checking in.
I would say, spending, I think when I mean it goes a long way, even this morning for me today, there's no other time when you get out of bed to just sit with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the perfect time to really, I think a lot of time we escaped our bodies or we are uncomfortable to some certain point, or even we're not even taught to acknowledge it. But sometimes before you get to interact with the mass or even, and I mean, or the people even in your mm-hmm. home, it's just like, let me take a deep breath. Let me just hold myself.
Being
sometimes
present
physically
with your body.
Touching yourself
yeah.
when you know, just to say like, hey, you're good. Like, hey, you're aching. Hey, this mm-hmm. part of you're feeling numb right now.
That's a
now.
Good point too, right?
You know, yeah.
How we can sometimes be detached from our bodies in mm-hmm. ways, but I think that maybe having language to explain that perhaps like our body is having a response to something.
Yeah.
And being okay to validate ourselves and tuning into that.
Like yeah.
when that family member that you don't fuck with comes in the room and yeah. you feel that pit in your stomach, being able to kind of listen to what that is telling you. There's, yeah. That's telling you that, you know, there's some sort of urgency, some need to protect.
Right.
And really checking into that and being curious about, like, what do I have? What do I need? What's going on with my thoughts?
And it's important because the morning before the event or wherever you're about to engage for whatever that holiday experience is, it is important to kind of say, notice that, is my stomach cramping? Am I avoiding stuff? Am I feeling irritable?
Really tired?
Am I on the toilet? Because sometimes anxiety comes with just like, you going to the bathroom all the time.
Stress colitis.
Personally, for me, I think that it probably, you want to start a little bit before the day.
Because yeah.
I think most of us probably who are in the overworking space tend to tap more into the numbness mm-hmm. than they tap into the agitated space, or at least it's not as loud mm-hmm. during those days. So I would say like check in a couple days before with yourself, right when you said, when I wake up, mm-hmm. when I'm in the shower, mm-hmm. when before I go to sleep. And honestly, 5 minutes is a frequency of time, is the amount of time that we all have to actually sit down and be with ourselves, but mm-hmm. we just don't. We have the excuse in our mind. We have the perception in our mind.
I got stuff to do. I got to hurry up.
That we don't have that. Yeah. But 5 minutes is actually not that long to just see with yourself. Because if you were able to notice.
To invest in yourself.
Thank mm-hmm. you. To like, if you notice a couple days before the event, before you're hosting, before you're going to this person's house, that you're numb. You're probably going to be taken aback when mm-hmm. that person comes into the room and yeah. all of a sudden you're flooded with all these yeah. things. Mm-hmm. It's giving, you're going to trigger and just go off because you did not know up until this point that you had actually been loading mm-hmm. the what do you call it? The barrel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you were just putting new things and didn't realize mm-hmm. that once that person even looked, mm-hmm. open their mouth, mm-hmm. said you were already ready to fire. So
yeah.
definitely body scan stuff, because you said mm-hmm. slowing down would look like just really sitting with yourself, laying with yourself. And for those of us who come, sometimes this is hard, maybe splitting your body into three sections, right? Chest up, what's happening from my head to my chest?
Mm-hmm.
From your chest down to your, let's say your knee area, what's happening between this section, right? Is there mm-hmm. any tension, twisting? Is there any stabbing? Is there any heaviness that's going on? And then from your knees down to your toes, what's going on over there? For me personally, mm-hmm. when I'm anxious, I can feel the flexing of my toes. I will mm-hmm. hold it in this way, and it's not painful, mm-hmm. but it is definitely an indication that I'm bracing for something. And I think mm-hmm, a lot sure. of us brace mm-hmm. when it comes to the holiday season because yeah. we're just trying to run it through, finish strong as best as
you know what I always, yeah. you know, another technique that checking with your body is that if your mind feels full, I do two things. I write down every thoughts that are coming to just sometimes releasing like the things. Mm-hmm. You'll stop ruminating and playing it over and over again. Or speak it out into your phone. Like if you have a memo recording, speaking everything out or speaking it out loud mm-hmm. is another way to check in with your body.
And deleting it. We're not saying to yeah. write everything and then go through each thing
right.
and trying to analyze, does this make sense, does this not, because that right. is just adding more food for the mill yeah. to keep turning. So mm-hmm. write it and let it go. I believe you said it's called a thought dump.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So definitely encourage thoughts. You guys so doing
I like
that.
I like the idea too, as we're kind of continuing to talk about the body, around mm-hmm. being intentional about what your posture is. Mm-hmm. When you are in a defensive stance, mm-hmm. you perhaps are in a more closed off, protective, mm-hmm. like ready to fight.
Arms crossed.
Yeah.
Or you might be like,
yeah,
you know,
that makes it a little bit more difficult for you to radically accept and practice openness.
No,
so trying yeah. to perhaps maybe be your intentional about like having your shoulders back, mm-hmm. having a more open posture when mm-hmm. you might be interacting with other mm-hmm. people so that mm-hmm. you can really be open to that kindness, ready to embrace
and invite,
versus yeah. ready to like defend and fight.
Because your body language speaks louder than your mouth sure. does.
And sometimes your body and your mind will follow each other, right?
Yeah.
So if I am already feeling anxious, mm-hmm. and then I've got my hands closed, mm-hmm. my body is restricted, it's going to be hard for me to soothe and shift myself, mm-hmm. because exactly. I'm fully committed to the mood.
Right.
I'm not really in a space where I'm able to even think about what it could be like for me to not be feeling that way. So
right.
really trying to pay attention to your body, what it's saying, what that body language is looking like, mm-hmm. and how you can practice some loving kindness within yourself too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that for those of us who are visual or like metaphors kind mm-hmm. of hit better for us, think about, and maybe this will be a trigger warning, but think mm-hmm. about in most cases when there is a car accident and there's an impact,
mm-hmm.
the person that usually walks away most unscathed was the person that was relaxed, open, loose, versus mm-hmm. the person who's usually braced and ready for the impact, mm-hmm. because the more we are compact like this, it just causes more friction, more pain. So if you're wanting to go through a chaotic experience, a pressure-filled experience, as unblemished and unhurt as possible, being open, limber, and flexible is the most effective way to get through it.
Yeah.
Now, will you get some scrapes, some bruises? Most definitely. But you definitely will be able to get up to fight for another day.
Sure.
Yeah, but and then also, a lot of people, our bodies are taught to operate in that fight, mm-hmm. flee, and freeze mode, right? Sometimes we are in that constant survival mode, which tends to kind of put that wall up, right? Surviving, that survival mode, really saying, this is where I feel safe, this is where I protect myself. And it's hard to kind of get in touch with your body when you feel like this is like the way that I've always kept safe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess keeping in mind too that if what your focus is there, right? If my focus is enjoyment, openness, love, kindness, how mm-hmm. is my body also reflecting that? And mm-hmm. that really regrounding you to what you actually have control over. You mm-hmm. can't control how other people are going to show up, what their mm-hmm. beliefs are, what mm-hmm. their perceptions are.
Yeah.
All you can control is you.
Yeah. You know, this just came to my mind, guys, and we didn't discuss it, but it came to my spirit and I want to share it. What about people, we talk about holidays and tradition and interacting with people, but what about the people who don't have anywhere to go?
You read my mind. I kind of thought about the loss and grief or isolation there.
Yeah, what about people who have lost families, friends, or network, or how do I create something in a space for myself? Or because if I get on social media, if I get on for movies, everything is about family and
about
community.
People, yeah.
And how about if I don't have a community?
Yeah. I suggest one, like back to the thing that you had said before about traditions.
Yeah.
When you are solo for the holidays, it does feel like you are disconnected. I don't have anyone to lean on.
Right.
I don't feel tethered or grounded in anything.
Yeah.
Traditions are a great way for you to create some consistency and something to return back to. And the positive thing about it, the benefit is that you call the shots on what you do.
Yeah.
If you want to eat Chinese takeout for Christmas, you can eat Chinese takeout. If you mm-hmm. want to design your Christmas tree with non-traditional colors, you can do that. Mm-hmm. But I would highly suggest for those of us who are alone, mm-hmm. Who don't have any family to go to, be intentional about pouring into your own cup, mm-hmm. something that will fill you up with a mm-hmm. sense of lightness and a merriness, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what the holidays is about, right? Being merry mm-hmm. as much as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So summing it up, what do we have to offer the people around how they can continue to take care of themselves during this time and just how we can make it through?
Here, I think if you sit with yourself and have a plan around what is next, like what do you want to do? Mm-hmm. How do you want to honor yourself in this season? I think really having a plan of, how do I want to show up for myself? How do I want to redefine how I want to end this year? How mm-hmm. I want to interact with others? Or maybe cleaning a space in my own home for you. Sometimes it is about like looking at the home and the space you occupy and creating that space for yourself before you even interact in other people's space.
Yeah, creating those rituals or the, like you said earlier, traditions around like what is fulfilling and enriching to you for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about like the boundary setting piece? Like, what is even language that we can maybe use to set some of those clear boundaries? Because I don't know about everybody else. From my personal experience, I think that my biggest challenge with setting boundaries has been fear, like fear around how the person will respond or like hurting the person's feelings, perhaps placing my beliefs or judgments onto them based on like how it felt to me. So like, what does that look like as far as giving some people some language on how to set those boundaries?
So here's the thing with boundaries. Boundaries is also for you being okay that people are allowed to have their feelings.
Sure, they're not gonna like
you. You are about to change a behavior and interaction that you have normalized for me for years, for seconds, for a week, for 2 weeks. And now you're going, because you're going to change it, do not have the expectation that I'm not going to feel how I'm supposed to feel.
Perhaps I'll be hurt by it.
I'm going to feel how I'm supposed to feel and be okay that how I feel may not, you may not like it. You may have an issue with it. So being open that people are allowed to have how they're feeling, the way they're feeling when you're about to change something. It's like a forced change in their interaction with you. Second thing about boundaries, let people know how you experience them. It's okay to
describe
say,
and express.
Yeah, it's okay to say, you know, I know for a couple years, I've allowed or pretend that I was okay when you talked to me this way or when you said this or when I was doing these things for you. What I realize is that I'm taking away from myself and I'm not honoring myself and I'm working on being a better version of myself, and I'm hoping the relationship between you and I is going to change, but in a way that we both can fit in it, and I hope you're okay with that. And notice how what I said, I didn't blame anything on you. I use my I and how I experience you and how I take accountability for the behavior that I've allowed to continue because you didn't know you either were offending and or hurting me. And you also didn't know to what extent that I was stretching myself to be okay with that.
Right.
So being, instead of saying like, you did this to me and you always do that and I'm not doing it anymore, I'm tired of that. That's not setting a boundary. That's still the part of your anger that you do need to make room for. But setting the boundary is saying that I've realized
that
I have not spoken out for myself when you said some stuff that did not make me feel good about me or honor myself. And it's not your fault. I'm taking ownership over that. And not
this
but,
is how I wanna
and
operate
moving
forward,
this is how I want to operate.
And I want to add on to what you said, that with the boundary setting, you used I language.
Yes.
And you stayed away from language that will keep the other person from listening to you. Because that is the ultimate need. That is like, it's a requirement that is needed whenever you are A, looking for change, and A, look B, looking for understanding, is that you want to communicate to people in a way that they are open to hearing you. So another thing that you said about language is, would you be willing to consider my side? And leave it at that, right? Not, are you willing to take my side? Are you willing to go up in arms with me? It just is, are you willing to consider the things that I have brought up? Or are you willing to consider that I'm just not at a place right now to have this conversation with you?
I love that. I think that also can kind of set the stage for how much energy I need to put into this.
Exactly.
Because I also try to remember that people that are not open or willing to understand you won't. They won't understand.
They will not.
So like, starting the conversation, and that also kind of maybe lowers the defenses, right? That is letting you know that I'm willing and open to understand where you're coming from, and I'm hoping that you are also able to meet me there.
And then be okay with also the person saying no or distancing themselves. Distancing themselves or saying no, or I can't honor that for you. Again,
it can feel like a rejection.
It can feel like a rejection, and it's more than okay.
And it's other person's boundary.
Their stuff.
Yeah,
their boundaries.
And that's their stuff. It has owning. Let people own. This is what I've been telling clients lately. Let people own their shit. Stop owning people's shit for them. Because if they're going off at you, if they're saying something, being okay with that.
And
you don't have to do anything about it.
I wanted to add one little piece before we end, is that for calling the folks that will say,
you made me feel this way. When you set a boundary, you take ownership and agency over what you allow and what you take from other people. Mm-hmm. So if you want to reclaim your power back, mm-hmm. a boundary where the only thing that is impact or influence is you. You are the only factor. You are the mm-hmm. only variable. You're going to be more settled, mm-hmm. and I feel like you will feel like you have more control over yourself because you can only control you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're wrapping it up. Reminding everybody to take care of themselves and do what is needed this holiday season.
Yeah.
I am Sparkle Ty. Remembering to reach out to us if you have any suggested topics, or if you would like for us to read any of your letters and offer you some advice, that email is couchchroniclestad@gmail.com.
And also subscribe and follow us as well on YouTube and Instagram and Spotify.
Yes.
And Apple Podcasts.
Everywhere. Everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm Judalyn.
Have a great holiday. Stephanie signing out. See ya.